Welcome to Middle School Matters podcast number 705, Teaching AI Literacy. We're going to talk about some AI literacy stuff. We're going to talk about some jokes for your classroom. And we're going to get into some other things as well. So without further ado, here is the wonderful, the magnanimous, the Mr. Troy Patterson.
All right. Welcome back to the show. I am Troy Patterson, and with me is the world's greatest co-show host, Mr. Sean McGurr. Hey, Sean.
Well, hello there. How are you?
I'm doing all right. We had Friday off.
That answer today. Friday off? Oh, that's right. It's Juneteenth.
Juneteenth. Yeah. So we had Friday off. So got to go get an estimate on the car that somebody hit.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So got that taken care of. I'm gonna note a couple of things here. You know, when I was taking driving school, my driving instructor told me to wear a seatbelt, or the force could throw me out of the car.
Oh,
I can't believe he thinks Star Wars is real.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow, that was. I need to polish up the delivery here. All right. You know, just a thought. I really don't like it when people use the same word twice in a sentence.
Oh.
I mean, enough is enough.
Sure. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. Let's see here. A friend of mine recently got crushed by a pile of books.
Really?
Yeah. He's only got his shelf to blame.
I got you. Yep. You're right.
Mm-hmm.
Let yourself down every time.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. As a kid, we lived in a 3-level house.
You did?
My bedroom was on the 4th floor.
Okay.
That's a different story.
Sure. Sure it is. Yeah. Yes.
Here's one for you.
Okay.
I've heard that you are so afraid of negative numbers, you will stop at nothing to avoid them.
Exactly. You're exactly right. Just zero that thing right out.
Mm-hmm. All right. Here's a quiz for you.
All right.
Think of a lawyer, an injury lawyer commercial here for you.
Okay.
Because I want to see if you, I want to see if you get this one.
Is this the bulldog guy?
Have you probably carrying a baseball bat or standing on a truck or something? I have no idea. But they all seem to do that. Have you had to walk 500 miles? Were you advised to walk 500 more? You could be entitled to compensation. Call the pro claimers now.
Uh-huh.
Do you get that one or no?
I know it's a music reference.
It is a music reference, yes.
Yeah. So have you gotten the, I'm going to rat hole here. That's fine. Have you seen the bulldog lawyer ads in Maine yet?
No.
Oh, thank heavens. It hasn't reached there. If they come, run them out of town.
Oh, okay. My word. That's one common thing. No matter where you go, there are the injury lawyer commercials like crazy.
Oh, this one's bad. This one's bad. Yeah. It makes lawyers look like they're not very smart.
Okay.
Or the people that they work with, or you, the listener to the actor who does the ad. Clever by half.
Ah. Uh-huh.
I'll find it for you.
I'm just looking them up right now.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'll find you the bulldog ad.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Hey, I haven't seen that one yet. Here's a tip for you.
Okay.
You need to, if a telemarketer calls you, give your phone to your 3-year-old and tell him it's Santa Claus.
I like that one. That's a good strategy. I like this.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, we should do this.
You just have to have a three-year-old around.
Well, that I don't have.
Yeah, me either. What did the skeleton order at the restaurant?
What did the skeleton order at the... I don't know.
Spare ribs.
Ah, okay.
Here's a geography joke. Here's a geography joke for you. Technically, what do you call the borders of Finland?
What do you call the borders of Finland? I don't know. What do you call the borders of Finland?
Finish lines.
Got it. I like it. I like it. Yep. Yeah.
This is one that I probably would work into working with the kid. And that is, I never said I was interesting. I said I was into resting.
Oh, sure.
I would work that in with the kid. It's like, are you interesting or are you just into resting? What do you say to comfort a friend struggling with grammar?
I don't know. What do you say?
There.
Aw.
Your English teacher, you can pass that along. They can put that in their glossary of jokes in Moodle and randomly pop that one up there. Here's another tip for you. If you're ever chased by a pack of taxidermists, do not play dead.
Oh sure. Yes, that's good advice, I think. Yes. Yes, don't play possum. Yep.
I grilled a chicken for 2 hours.
Did you?
Yeah, still wouldn't tell me why it crossed the road.
Ah. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yes. All right. Well, you might be curious as to where these all come from.
Yes, actually.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Do tell.
Do tell. My wife actually contributes some of them, so.
Yay.
All right. But... this week, Dave Bidlowski has a journey to curiosity.
Okay.
And I think this is, you know, one of those things we're going to be talking about more and more as AI comes into play and kids can just get answers, whether they're right or not, doesn't have much to do. And Dave is going to remind us that the true goal of science isn't completion. It's focusing, cultivating on the lifelong journey of curiosity. So here, without further ado, is the wonderful Mr. Dave Bidlowski and the Middle School Science Minute.
Hi, this is Dave Bidlowski of K12Science.net, and this is your K-12 Science Podcast. I was recently reading the National Science Teaching Association's blog for May 20th, 2026, and I read a blog posting by Kristen Barnes, and it was entitled, Teaching Students to Think in Science, Where Curiosity Meets Cognitive Strategy. And she said, too often, science instruction leans heavily on synchronous learning, individual work, note-taking, and getting the right answer. However, the true goal of science education isn't completion. Science education should instead focus on cultivating the lifelong journey of curiosity. This goal leads us to the following question. How do we make students more curious about the scientific world around them? One answer involves using cognitive strategies or curiosity-driven instruction. But this solution requires educators to focus as much on how we teach students as on what information they need to learn. And here are some strategies that may help. First, start with curiosity, then build thinking. Raise a question. or describe a phenomenon before you introduce a topic. Instead of defining genetic engineering, for example, show two sets of grapes that look different and ask students these questions. Why do we refer to one set of grapes as seedless while the others are called seeded grapes? If the grape doesn't have seeds, how does it reproduce? How did it get there? Asking such questions is a good way to activate prior knowledge and encourage student questioning, both of which are hallmarks of higher order thinking. From there, use cognitive strategies to support the students as they begin to develop understanding. We can make science concepts stick. With so much of science being abstract, examples can be useful. Students can easily understand abstract concepts when they have a more familiar concept to anchor their thinking. For instance, you could describe the cell as a factory or electrical circuits as a water pipe system. We can take this a step further and pair these examples with dual coding, which occurs when we combine visuals and words. An example of this approach would be to label a diagram of the heart and read a text that explains blood flow. This strategy allows students to process information both visually and verbally. To push things even further, use think alouds to model how you think through scientific concepts. You could say, I'm noticing this graph trends upward. That makes me think. Gradually teach students how to think through concepts by letting them practice using questioning strategies, such as, why does this happen? How does this connect with the unit we've been learning? What do you notice? What do you wonder? What do you think about that? What evidence supports your thinking? This shift puts students in the role of a scientist instead of having them passively listen to information. As a result, students can move from memorizing scientific facts to reasoning. And this has been your K-12 Science Podcast.
All right. You have ISTE coming up. In fact, we do not have a show next week because you're going to be off learning stuff, correct?
Let's see. Saturday will be the 27th. So correct. I will be in an all-day session on talking about pedagogy before AI.
Sounds awesome.
Yeah, and I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, this is pedagogy before AI.
It's not like the pedagogy name of the course, but
pedagogy should come first with.
Yeah, it's going to be based on AI with Intention by Tony Frontier.
Okay.
But what she's going to do, and I can't remember the presenter. Her name escapes me at the moment. But she works for ASCD and ISTE.
Okay.
But what she's going to do is she's going to say, okay, so if AI with Intention and pedagogy comes first, then what are some things, what are things that we can do that key into the strengths of incorporating AI with Intention into our curriculum? You know, so let's talk about some pedagogy. Let's talk about some strategies. Let's talk about some things you can use in your classroom. So I'm hoping that I get 5 hours of strategies and ideas that I can pull into my classroom starting in August. I'm looking forward to it. That's just Saturday, right?
Yeah.
And then we've got sessions. I've already gone through and starred a whole bunch of sessions that I want to do for Sunday through Tuesday, I think it is. And then what I'll do is after I've starred them in the computer and on the web thing, is I'm going to sit down and I'm going to go old fashioned. And I'm going to break it down by hour. I'm going to write out by hour. All right, so this is my first choice. This is the one I want to get to. If I can't get in there, then I'll do this, and then this, and then this, and this, and this. I'll rank order them.
Right.
And then go to the next hour block and then say, all right, so here are my choices. And if I can't get in here, then I'm going to go in here, here, or here. and I'll just do that for the whole day. And then I signed up for the reception after the ISTE keynote on the 28th. Cool. And I'm thinking that there's Eric Kurtz is hosting a board game room. They're going to have 300 plus games come in. There's going to be food. There's going to be beverages. And, you know, maybe I should sneak over and play some games. You don't stay the whole time. It's a drop in, drop out type of thing. So maybe I'll just sneak over there and see what's what. Maybe get a chance to talk to Eric Kurtz. I don't know.
I'm going to say it's a great opportunity for networking. It's a great opportunity to meet other people. And it's an introvert's nightmare.
Right, which is why I'm thinking that maybe I would skip it. But something that's become obvious is that I've spent way too much time banging away on the keyboard, banging out curriculum. Yeah. I should probably do some of that.
Yeah, and that, and actually for conferences, that's one of the strongest value adds, is talking to other people, meeting other people, finding out what they're doing, and sharing what you're doing. Because a lot of times when you share what you're doing, you really process, like, you think about it in a different way. It's the old adage, you don't really know something until you teach it. So, yeah. You know, so it's cool. Yeah, and you're going to spend 5 hours and you're going to take notes. How are you going to take notes through the conference?
So I use Notability. We've talked about our note-taking tools in the past. Someone suggested, I was watching a podcast, and John Gruber said, you know, oh, you should switch over to Apple Notes because it'll be integrated with iOS 27 and then AI and this and that and the other thing. And I'm thinking, oh, that would be great to just be able to talk to my iPad and say, hey, so-and-so, you know, did I take any notes about such and such?
Yeah.
You know, maybe that's a thing to do. But I'm also taking paper. I'm going to take paper this year. Because,
really?
Yep, I'm taking paper for a couple of different reasons. But I'm going to take, I found these notebooks when I was in Lithuania that I really like. Yeah. And so I'm going to take one of those. And it's got note-taking paper in it. And so I'm going to do that largely because, so Notability, I can hit the microphone at the top.
We've talked previously about Notability, and I think it's really hard to beat Notability for taking notes. You have so many options, right?
Yeah.
You can handwrite your notes as if you're writing on paper. You can record things. You can take pictures of things and embed them and say, like, see, this is what I'm talking about. And then if you took all of those and you popped them into like a notebook, through Google or something else, and said, hey, find all of the same things, find all of these things, that would be a potential other option, I guess.
So. Well, the thing with Notability is when it shoots it out as a PDF, my handwriting becomes an image. So I need something that's going to be able to read images.
Yeah. Almost everything does now, though.
Right. And that's the benefit of a lot of these things, is that I'm hoping it's going to be able to look at my handwriting. You know, was my second and third grade teacher right? My handwriting is atrocious. It's improved a lot since second and third grade. But
yes.
Penmanship was not my strong suit in elementary school. So I'm going to do that. My iPad, I notice, has seen the battery is starting to show a little bit of age. So I went and picked up a power bank, because one of the things about ISTE is you're using technology all day long.
Yeah, yeah.
And people are always looking for that plug, right? And then you're looking
And so is everybody else, right?
Yep. You're looking for a plug, and everybody else is too. And it's magnified because everybody's got tech. And so I went and got myself an Anker power brick. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to, the nice thing is that it has two USB ports. And if I plug it into the wall, and I can charge it with both USB-C ports. So it'll charge really, really fast when I get back to the hotel. But I should be able to charge both my laptop and my iPad at the same time. The iPad's going to get a ton of battery use simply because Notability eats a lot of juice when it comes to note-taking, because I'm going to hit the microphone and I'm going to record some stuff while I'm taking notes on Notability.
Right.
The nice thing is that the audio syncs to what I write. And so I can, if I hit playback, I can see where in my notes I am when I wrote stuff when the audio was saying what it said. And I know there's a lot of other people that also use GoodNote for taking notes. I tried it. I went back to Notability. Personal preference only. GoodNotes has lots of great features. It's just a matter of what are you familiar with? And I know Notability keeps changing up things. So maybe when I get to Notability again, I've not used it in a while. But when I get back to it again, I'm going to go, matter of fact, this afternoon, I'm going to go set it up for ISTE 2026. Maybe things will be in different places that I don't want, and I'll have to learn it all over again anyway. So maybe that's a moot point, but, I am going to try. I did download all of my 2025 ISTE conference stuff, and I am going to put it in Notebook LM, and then I'm going to push it out as a podcast, extended podcast, and I'm going to send that to central office and say, this is what I got out of the conference last year.
Okay, that's interesting. Let's see. So speaking of what you got out of, apparently Wayne Risa is getting out of the Moodle, providing business.
Really, yeah. Business. So Wayne Risa has decided to end their Moodle, instance. They're going to do it rather abruptly and rather quickly. And there was some pushback on that. So apparently I'm not the only one out there using it on Wayne Risa. Yeah. A lot of districts apparently are using it, and Wayne Risa just—I don't know exactly what they were thinking, but I know that they're getting out of the server business altogether, and they're simply pushing everything over to AWS and letting AWS handle all that stuff. Which means that all of our student records and all of our Zangle stuff and everything will be over on AWS, and not point to the server farm that sits over at Wayne Risa.
Right.
Yeah, so we're looking at finding different places to host, right? Because we have a lot of things that are in there. And a lot of the curriculum that we developed is in Moodle, in particular social studies curriculum. And a lot of the tools that we use to make decisions for AI are based on that sort of thing being available. One of the things we talked about was building question banks based on taggable standards. And all of that works really, really well in Moodle. You and I experimented this week with doing it in Moodle 5.2. And it's a little harder than 3.10, but it's doable and very functional. I think it's cleaning up all the extra stuff when I'm used to seeing everything and now I'm only seeing very, very specific window of things. So it's a matter of knowing where to look. And once I figure that out, it'll become much, much easier. But I tried doing things like I tried to find a way to do question banks in Google Forms, and you can't do it. You can build a form that has questions, and then you pull the questions out of it. But now you've got to create these banks of forms, and they're Google Forms, and they're not necessarily searchable, which I find ironic for Google, but it's not. And they're not necessarily taggable. You have to make a list of all of them with the same category of standard. So now instead of having one document or one database, let's say, one database with all of your standards, now you need, if you've got 15 standards, you have to have 15 documents that you need to go through.
Right.
And so I've not found anything yet that is as good as question banks and test design as Moodle has it with all the functions and features.
Yeah.
And maybe the district doesn't care. It just asked the question. Well, okay then. All right. Ask the question. And maybe that's all people want is just, I just want a place to ask the question. Well, all right. But what if you could do more? Like, you know, we use the data, the feedback we get from that to make curriculum decisions.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we use I use the feedback, immediate feedback, the purple graph bars at the bottom. And I'll say, all right, what does this tell you about, you know, how you did on the test and how you're doing overall? And how do you think you compared to other, you know, things? And we have conversations about that and use it as a growth and learning moment for the kids. So I'm looking for Moodle host, right? And I spent a ton of time.
And that led to us having a conversation, and I spun up a Moodle course. I had spun up a Moodle course. I was in the process of spinning it up, but I spun up a Moodle course and said, "Hey, you can put yourself up here," and it's the latest Moodle edition, right? Right. And so there's still some stuff I could probably tweak, and that's, you know, we've had a couple conversations and I've tried to tweak a few things and add a few things, and there's still more things I can tweak. But then it also led to, I think that would be something that would be fun for me. I mean, I've run a Moodle course. I run Moodle courses. I've done the hosting and the updating and the installation and plugins and all that before. So that's something that if push comes to shove, I can certainly do for you. And if there's somebody else out there who wants to, who needs a Moodle host is willing to pay a bit for it, then that's something, you know, contact me. I'd love to chat with you. But so I guess in one hand, we have our first advertisement today.
You're right, yeah. This session's sponsored by
me. So I think as I retire, and I don't have that full-time job that I'm doing all day long, it'd be something that I would enjoy. So it also points to you have options, right? Like Lisa's saying, no, we're done. You're on your own. But you still have options because it is open source software. You can take your stuff somewhere else, right? You have that capability.
So there's, if I went and bought myself a hard drive, I could go over to Moodle for Mac and just take in, and it doesn't seem to be too complex of an install. Just do the quick install on that 2 terabyte hard drive and then run Moodle off of that hard drive. That Moodle for Mac will install PHP, MySQL, and do an install of Moodle. And the nice thing is that it's all hosted right there on my classroom computer. I just have to find a way to get the kids connected to it. And then theoretically, we're good to go.
Right. You'd have to make sure that their devices were not locked down as far as which Wi-Fi networks that they could join, right? Because
right.
That's essentially what you're doing, is you're going to create your own Wi-Fi network, and that has a lot of security advantages, and then it has a couple of user disadvantages, right? Because when they go home, they can't connect to it unless you talk to somebody on your network and they do some work to get it opened up.
Right. And therein lies the some of the problems with doing it from that side. The other thing is that it's not just me that uses Moodle, right? There's about 4 or 5 other teachers that also use Moodle. And, you know, my poor little computer, I also use that as my main classroom computer. So maybe I need to find a second. Troy keeps sending me images of there's a Mac Mini available over here. There's a Mac Mini available over here.
We did talk about options before. But we talked about several options before. I was like, hey, this is something I would enjoy. And I think I could do it at a pretty reasonable cost. So then I had to go up and look at different hosting options and how much those cost. Because I would want to make sure that it was a robust hosting option for you, right? It would,
right.
I wouldn't want you to get hung up. So I think that, you know, I don't know how well a shared host would handle the traffic, because I've never done that with a shared host. It's always been a dedicated. So yeah. I looked up how much it would be to get a VPS, and I'm willing to do that, but I'm only willing to do that if it's not costing me money.
right. So that's much different I've spun one up that has, it's where I can, it's my little playground, right? Area where I can test and play and do things. Mm-hmm. There's only like a handful of people on it. And so I don't know if it's, delayed or slow or what. I'll use it at conferences and it comes up pretty good, pretty okay. So
yeah, that's maybe
shared hosting.
Yeah.
But yes, the next level up should provide a really nice level of
right. service. And yeah. And that's what I would do for anyone who is going to use it with real classes kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So but the advantage again is that you can move this stuff. You do have some options because where it is. If you were switching from iXL or a lot of other places, you just lose your stuff, right? It's just gone. You just can't do it. So it is one of those things where it's like, okay, this is one of those spots where you do own your stuff, and you're not losing your stuff. It's a little bit of a pain to go, okay, I got to find someplace else to put it, but at least you still have your stuff. So.
Yeah. And then you have it. It doesn't mean the curriculum director can't turn around and go, yeah, no, you keep it. We're not going to use it. Right. Yeah. And then you've got a lot of your stuff. The best equivalency I heard was, somebody said, well, that's like taking your filing cabinet and somebody just poured gasoline on it and lit it on fire. Well, yeah, that's pretty much it. Yeah. Very old school. But, yeah, so I'm looking forward to solving that problem. Monday starts that little adventure for me. Yep. But I'm also getting ready for ISTE and putting the stuff together for that. And the weather's been great here, and I've not taken advantage of being outside and fighting back my neighbor's vines and branches, and everything that I cut down last year is back within 2 weeks. It's back to the exact same place I cut it down in the fall. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to have to take a much more serious tone of voice with my neighbors.
There you go.
Vines and...
And I am finishing up transition. I'm just about done. So hence part of my, okay, what comes next? And hey, mm-hmm. you know, doing Moodle work, that would be fun. So, I'm just about finished up with that. And then you're also kind of preparing for ISTE by doing some book reading.
Well, yes, I've got to get done. I got to get back to reading AI with Intention by Tony Frontier. I did start it. I got to page 88, I think it was. I'm about halfway through, and I've got more to go. But I'm taking notes in the margins, and I stop myself, and I'm going, oh, you know, we should build this for the social studies department. And if I put in this and I did this, I wonder what I would get. Let's go find out. right? And gallop, 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 gallop down to the computer. Oh, yeah, this is, oh, I didn't think about that. Oh, we got to, oh, let's factor this in too. And the next thing you know, I'm not back to the book. I'm busy cranking out resources for the Social Studies Department. So I got to get back to that. I'm about halfway through AI Literacy by Matt Miller. And lots of good stuff. It's a really quick read. It's not hard to read at all.
Yeah.
It's not heavy. It is light reading. It's full of good practical strategies. In there, he says, look, try this. Put in this prompt and see what you get. And then, you know, try this. And then try this. And he talks about ways you can use it with the kids. And I want to go back through, and I got to take notes on that one. Because there's some ideas in there that I want to do with the kids to teach AI literacy in the coming weeks, in the new year. Then I just picked up a new book. It just came, just got published by Pirate Guy, Dave, Pirate Dave, and his company. It's called Lectureless, Teaching History to Engage and Empower. And one of the things that we find that I hear the kids complaining about with other teachers is it's science, social studies, doesn't matter. So they talk too much. I'm like, dude, you don't know what that means. That was all we had when I was your age. Took notes. The teacher talked and you took notes. So I'm interested to see the strategies in Lectureless, Teaching History to Engage and Empower. There's a link in the show notes if you're interested. And then I'm looking forward to June 22nd. There's a release date for Inclusive 52 Executive Functioning Weekly Strategies to Help AI Learners Thrive. I'm sorry, AI. Ooh. All Learners Thrive. I'm very interested in that. And that should be here on Tuesday. And I want to turn that into some advisory things.
Yeah.
To help my kids start practicing executive functioning. Because that's one of the things we found is we are not teaching that with intention. Right. And our kids desperately, that's one of our biggest pain points. One of the biggest complaints I hear from teachers is, you know, such and such and such a thing. And it's like, well, that's an executive functioning thing. And we're not teaching it. We're just reacting to it. And I think if we get ahead of it, it's going to make our lives so much easier.
Yeah. I think the teaching in executive functioning, I've always thought that that's crucial. And I think it's getting more and more important. I think it falls into the critical thinking skills that kids need. I think those are related, combined, and just crucial. And I hadn't thought of the Teach Like a Pirate guy for a while. So
yeah, I've not seen his books come across my feed at all. And
Dave Burgess, right?
That's it, Burgess. Yeah. Yep, Pirate Dave.
Yeah,
And he's usually got good stuff. I don't knock him at all.
No, I don't. He's got a shtick, and
it works. You know, yeah,
it works. And so I just hadn't heard of I just hadn't heard anything from him lately. So
yeah, and not seen him out there on the socials or non socials, ice cream socials.
No? Oh, ice cream. All right, let's get to the end of the show so I can go get ice cream.
Okay, sounds good to me.
All right, but, you know, and that would be a very social thing to do. What's on the social web this week?
Well, if we pull that thread on the social web, we've got Dublin City University. How is hashtag AI already affecting our lives? Well, Dublin City University's Professor Alan Smeaton did a thing with Irish Radio and was on there to chat about how AI has actually underpinned our daily routines for over a decade. We just didn't really know it. One of the things that got me was I always tell the kids I never want to be that one guy who has to write manuals for, like, you know, those little things that come in with stuff you already know how to use. But there's a manual in there, and somebody had to sit down and write and explain all that, and that just would not be something that I would want to do. And it turns out for years, nobody has. It's simply been AI. They just, because they know you're not going to read it, they just throw it in there and away it goes. Right? And I guess a lot of that stuff was has always been AI. We just didn't know it at the time. So he goes through and explains how AI has already impacted us over 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
So it's interesting. Keep Indiana Learning. As Stop Searching and Start Discovering. They have a YouTube channel now, so you can get some PD from Keep Indiana Learning right there on YouTube. So go follow their channel, show them some love. And then AMLE has a big announcement. They're excited to announce Christopher Woodside as their next chief executive officer. And Chris brings nearly two decades of nonprofit and association leadership experience with a strong record in advocacy and member engagement. So good for AMLE. We're hoping that that is a continued growth point for AMLE. Stephanie Simpson did a wonderful job rescuing AMLE from that, for the hard times of COVID and pre-COVID. And I'm hoping he continues that growth with AMLE here coming up. As he begins his tenure as CEO.
Mm-hmm.
Edutopia, I caught this, and I have not had a chance to look at it yet, but has three higher energy review games that they posted. There's a link in the show notes. Go take a look at that. And I wonder if Dave Nyerku, how do you say it?
I don't, but I read it.
Okay.
Nope. Yeah, David... Nijoku?
Sure.
I thought this was interesting and thought-provoking. He says, here's the thing. Ask any kid what noise a train makes, and they'll probably say chugga-chugga-choo-choo, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the funny thing is, no one alive today was around when trains powered by steam made that sound. Okay. Kind of disagree a little bit because I think there still are probably some like museums and stuff.
But well, there's still one that runs from Sault Ste. Marie all the way down to Flint. It's stealth. It's the steam engine.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but I mean,
but still, not a lot of people, Sault Ste. Marie.
Almost
no one gets on a train or has heard a train.
Right.
But that's how we think of trains, right?
Yeah.
And he points out the stories that we're told are powerful, even more powerful than the evidence of our senses. We think trains sound like that because we're told trains sound like that.
Mm-hmm.
Stories are powerful. Be careful with the stories you tell. And I think that that's something to think about. And I just think about how, you know, frequently we end up with self-fulfilling prophecies as well, right? That if you tell a kid they can't do it, then they're going to end up believing that and they won't be able to do that. So I just thought it was interesting. I just thought it was interesting to think about, you know, what else do we also say? You know, trains sound like this. It's like, no, trains don't sound like that. And pretty soon it's going to be... cars sound like this, and it's like, you know, mm-hmm. cars don't sound like that anymore. So, yeah. All right. Trevor Muir.
Yeah,
you know Trevor Muir, right?
I know of him, yes.
You know of him. Mm-hmm. Have you ever met Trevor Muir?
I do not believe I have.
I don't think I have either. I wonder if he's going to ISTE.
I love his stuff, though.
He does write good stuff. Yeah. This week, he has, using AI to enhance project-based learning units.
Oh, nice.
Right. And one of the things we've talked about frequently is using AI in an area that you're already proficient in. So... that you have some knowledge of because you need to know whether it's right or not. And I thought this was neat. This was a fourth grade teacher was going to do the same unit on measurements she's done for the past 7 years. Most of it was direct instruction with practice exercises and a little bit of hands-on application where students use rulers to measure certain items in the classroom to determine perimeters, area, angles. After 70 years of this unit, the teacher was getting bored. So she tried using ChatGPT and saying, I'm a fourth grade teacher in Detroit, Michigan. Create a list of project-based learning ideas where students will solve a problem while learning about perimeter, area, and angles. And pretty soon she had 10 project areas to choose from. One caught her eye, designing better coat hooks for classrooms. It says, as a teacher in Michigan, this might suit your students well. Students measure wall spaces in their classroom to determine the best placement for additional coat hooks, applying their knowledge of perimeter, angle, and area. They create blueprints, calculate materials needed, and present a proposal to the school administration using math to solve a real-world problem and make their classroom more functional. Trevor goes on to talk about how he does PBL workshops. And one of the questions that he usually asks is, what are the biggest obstacles for doing project-based learning? Top response is always time. Time to plan, time to assess, time to present, time to manage students. Second most popular response is coming up with project ideas. So here he has developed a prompt guide. I don't think he's developed it. I think he's linking to it. Oh, no, he says I created it. Okay. To walk you through the prompting process and generate prompting ideas. And you can actually get the prompt guide for free.
Oh, so nice.
Linked right there. and then he also uses it for classroom project management and to find community partners. So he's pointing out that potentially AI has the potential to address some of the time issues. You still have to be the expert. You still have to know what it is you're looking for and how it is that you want to get it. But it can be a good assistant. So I think that's worth taking a look at. Sean, I know that you are passionate about pronouncing things correctly.
Yes. Yes, I am.
And I came across the chaos.
Okay.
Which is not new and is quite lengthy, but it has all kinds of homonyms in it and has words that look alike but are pronounced very, very different. So you might want to share this one with your English language arts teachers, because it's a fun thing. And you could have make it a challenge to have kids read this aloud.
Especially my kids.
Or have the teachers read it aloud and have the kids write out what's being read or mark which words are sounded out correctly or incorrectly. Just have some fun with it. It just... it's an interesting little poem.
It's fun.
Yeah. All right. Draw Splat tools. Draw Splat has some fascinating tools. So I'm going to link to all of them because I could have picked one every week and gone through it. But they have some really, really interesting tools. We talked about one last week. But they have like a coin flipper. They have a dice roller. They have, I think they had a timer. They have tons and tons of stuff. They even have, this may not make you happy, Sean, but it makes me happy. They have a Markdown Studio.
Oh.
Where you can learn to write in Markdown.
Is it better than BB Edit? That's the real question.
I use Joplin for notes. I use BB Edit for programming stuff.
I am so behind.
But there's useful stuff. There's Big Link, create a large projected or printable URL card. There's concept maps, there's picture graph, there's a rubric builder, there's a bingo card generator, there's a bingo caller, there's a clock wizard, there's sure puzzles, there's step splat, break tasks into bite-sized steps, there's a story wheel, there's just lots of stuff to use, and it comes at a terrific price.
Oh, mm-hmm. Our favorite price?
Our favorite price.
I like it.
So, so check that out. See if there's anything there that you want to use or you think about using, any of that good stuff. Okay. Shohei Ohtani. The kids may know about Shohei Ohtani. He's an incredible, mm-hmm. incredible baseball player. Mm-hmm. And there's an article over at the New York Times about his goal-setting method that he used when he was a freshman in high school. So I have given you way too much information in this article, but we talk about executive functioning. And this is something that I think is really powerful. And it is the Harada method, I think it is. Anyway, it comes down to identifying a goal and then breaking it down into pieces. And he has a chart here of what he's done. And I think that that's something that we could work with kids in, is teaching them to break down their goals, teaching them that process. You know, it's something that I wish somebody would have taught me long, long time ago. And I really like that you get a diagram here as well. His goal, by the way, was get drafted first overall.
Oh.
And then he breaks that down. He has 9 additional boxes that break that down. And then he breaks 8 boxes. He's got 8 boxes that break that down. And those 8 boxes include mental toughness, personality, karma, body control, sharpness, speed, and pitch variance. And again, I think that kids having a tangible method of doing this can make a difference for them. And seeing what Shohei Ohtani has done, I think could be powerful for a lot of kids as well. All right, let's finish off on on an AI story here. Okay. You're going to love this one, Sean.
All right.
Is AI ruining our skills? Early results are in, and they're not good. This comes from Nature, and it is the reliance on artificial intelligence tools degrades the ability of physicians and software engineers. So I think it's something that we in education need to be thinking about as well. As more and more professionals begin relying on artificial intelligence tools in their work, could their hard-earned skills atrophy? So they're saying they're concerned about that. And new evidence shows that AI-driven de-skilling is starting to happen. What happens is if they don't have access to the AI tool, they are not as good as doing their job. Their performance dropped significantly whenever the system was unavailable. So be aware of that. But you know what is available? It's available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Ooh, what's that?
That is middleschoolmatters.com. And we have all the show notes and a couple of things we didn't talk about this week as well. But you can head over there. There's links to reach out and chat with us. We'd love to hear from you. We would love it if you would share with your co-teachers and all of those others that you teach with. Share the show with them. Let them encourage them to listen over the summer as we'll continue on. And, of course, we'd love it if you'd head to the podcast catcher of your choice. Give us a 5-star rating. Tell us why Sean is the world's greatest co-show host. Share a link or two on the social medias to the show. We'd really appreciate that as well. With that, this has been Middle School Matters for middle school educators who care. All opinions expressed on this podcast are exclusively the opinions of the host and guest and not indicative of any employer.